station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
There we go. Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, August 20th. I forgot my mic. It does happen sometimes. Yeah.
It's all right. I heard you, but I don't think anybody else did. Yeah, now we can hear you, Sam.
There you go.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon. I mean, morning.
Are you
taking
selfies of yourself already this morning?
Yes, I just did. And I was going to
Why? What's the occasion
to
today?
Twitter. No, I feel like Twittering, and I just feel happy. I'm in a good mood because this morning I woke up and I looked at my body and I was like, yes, I'm finally seeing some results. And I don't know why I just said finally, because I really just started like cracking down like just a few days ago.
Oh, really?
Roughly. But yeah, wow. I've been trying to be really, really good. You know, I'm trying to get in that Vegas shape for Labor Day weekend.
I know. But, I mean, that fat just flows off of you. You know, I mean, it's amazing.
It is. I know. You're so really excited.
Yeah.
I've been like kind of like lazy for a while. Like I really needed something to like get me jump started, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be here before I know it. Like I need to get going, you know, because for Memorial Day weekend, my body was
so
was
let me ask you
shape,
this. So, out of curiosity, how much weight do you still need to lose?
You know, I don't even own a scale. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more about the way my clothes fit. Like this morning, I put on my everyday jean shorts, you know, that I wear mostly throughout the summer. And they were super roomy. Like they're falling off on me. And I was like, whoa, is this, did I grab the, like, no, these are the ones I always wear. I'm like, wow, that feels good. You know, I got like a nice little tight tank top on. Like I'm feeling happy today.
So I guess every woman just has to be on a diet, you know? It doesn't matter whether she needs it or not.
It's about, like, for me, it's about, like, that kickstart. You know, once I get started, then I'm so, like, ew, junk food. Keep that away from me. So gross. I'm all organic now. Like, I totally become, like, one of those chicks. You know, like, my last paycheck, I totally blew on, you know, groceries because I got everything organic.
Organic food,
and because I have I don't know if I've talked about it before, but for my birthday, my mom got me a Nutribullet.
No,
and it
makes anything.
It makes smoothies basically.
Okay.
So for me, like I got fresh like organic spinach, so I always fill half of it with that, and then the rest of it, you know, I bought like organic strawberries, organic grapes, and raspberries, and I just kind of, you know, cut that up, throw it in there, and you add water or like some little like protein powder. I have like a flaxseed powder, so whatever you want, and and it's so easy because they actually make it in the cup. Like the
so it's like an instant type.
Right, so it's not like a blender where you have to blend it, then you have to get a cup, pour it in. Like no, the blender is the cup.
Oh,
you just
okay.
screw on the blade.
Yeah.
And you put it in the the device and turn it and it, you know, it just makes one cup or two cups. There's like different sizes that you can do. And then you just take it off and it's got a little handle on it already and you just there's your magic smoothie.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, having that and just trying to eat, you know, leafy greens and fruits and vegetables and doing yoga. I did crack yoga yesterday. I call it crack yoga, yes.
Why is that?
Just because the instructor, it's like she's on crack.
Really?
Like it's nuts. Yeah.
She's very energetic
she's very, very good, and it's more of, you know, and I'm all for like traditional, you know, like that kind of like nice, you know, balancing yoga because it cleanses your mind. Mm-hmm. But when you want to, like, you know, chop chop, when you want to really get in shape and get mm-hmm. a good workout, I like the classes at LA Fitness on Mondays and mm-hmm. Wednesdays.
Okay.
By this chick, because she's just, I mean, it's like you hear everybody and they're like groaning by the end of it, like, oh my gosh, it's so difficult. But it's like, just stay focused. You know, she'll always say, you know, don't think about it, just do it. You
right.
know? So it's like, okay, yeah.
That's true. You shouldn't think about it. Because if you did, you wouldn't want to do it. You know?
Yeah. yeah. It really makes a difference. You know,
right.
when she says that. Like, she's not very like in your face drill sergeant, mm. but yeah, she'll just say things like that. Don't think about it, just do it. It's
yeah.
like, oh, okay. Okay, I'll do a chair pose again.
They should know.
So yeah. So I'm excited.
Well, you know, talking about that, I wanted to bring up this thing, which is totally related, I think. This man in Saudi Arabia weighs 1,300 pounds. 1,300 pounds.
Oh.
I mean, you got to see him. He's like in this huge bed.
Wow.
His legs look like an elephant's legs. And so I guess the Saudi king decided to intervene and help him, right?
Oh, okay.
So this is like a world record, 1,345 pounds.
Wow.
Unable to move by himself. I mean, I've seen people that are like 500 pounds and you need to carry them with a forklift or something,
uh-huh.
you know?
Well, there's
so this
that
guy,
one woman that like crushed her nephew or something, right? Because she like rolled over and sat on him or something.
Really?
Like, oh. Yeah, that was so tragic.
How heavy was she? Do you know how much she
was like, oh gosh, I don't remember, but I think she was considered like the fattest person in the world.
Really?
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, go ahead with your story.
No. I mean, that's just it, you know, it's mm-hmm. a world record. I guess they said there was a previous record of 1,235 pounds, but this guy, yeah, I mean, it's like, how can you live like this? At what point do you get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm a little
right.
too fat, you know? I need to do something about this. I mean, this guy, 1,300 pounds, hasn't occurred to him yet that he's too big.
Yeah, see, this is they call it the half-ton killer.
Uh-huh.
Look at this.
Oh, my God.
It's a YouTube.
Yeah, and how much does she weigh?
Of her, I don't know exactly, but
wow.
it just says the half-ton killer.
Oh God.
Yes. Oh gosh.
Yeah. I don't know how people
like,
get to that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, what
but
point do you just I mean yeah. you're bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
Like legit.
Yeah,
like,
they can't
where do you go from here?
Right.
You know, and all
yeah.
you do is just eat.
Yeah. Bless you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Sorry
you know,
about
I mean
that.
Even at 300 and 400 pounds, it's like they're like already mm-hmm. like, you know, weird, you know, or like bizarre or something, you know. The
yeah.
way they look and stuff, so to get to 1,300 pounds, man, you gotta like, I don't know how much you know. I remember there was another guy in New York that was like this, and he would eat like tons of food every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you wouldn't imagine more than a family eats in a day, you know.
Wow.
So food, you know, food
that's
has
nice
become
that
like,
they're you know in Saudi Arabia that they're willing to.
Yeah.
Help him.
Well, duh. You know,
him
I mean,
some
this
kind
guy.
Of treatment or something.
This guy's bigger than his bed. He's on a king size bed. He's bigger than that.
Ugh.
He's got like straps holding him together and stuff.
Oh my
know?
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah
harnesses. And stuff.
Oh man. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what a life, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's
like,
tough,
it's,
man.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Because
it really
obviously
is, you know?
Something, you know. Like upset them enough to drive them to
yeah.
eat that much, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like
yeah.
who? And also, it doesn't help that whoever, you know, spouse or family, whoever is like enabling them,
right?
Too,
right?
You know, it's like you pretty much have nothing without motivation. You
right.
know, you
yeah.
need something to, you know, to motivate you to want to
yeah.
get in shape and get better and get, I mean, even healthier. That can't be good for your heart
right.
and your organs. Got to be working like overtime, double
yeah.
time, you know? Like that's a lot of human to keep up with.
Yeah. So. Can you imagine you probably weigh like as much as his leg or something, you know? You know, and it's amazing, you know? I mean, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think now at this point, I probably weigh less than his finger.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Wow.
Positive thinking, everyone.
Yeah. All right. Well, we started the show with food, and there's probably a good reason. It's not a coincidence. Well, yeah. It just so happened that it's like that. But we have a special guest in the studio, and she's going to introduce us to this whole topic. And we welcome to the show Brittany Cara. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to be on.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you brought us a couple books, which is nice. Is this a new book that you just released?
Yeah, brand new book. It came out last week. It's called The Silent Scandal, and it actually has a lot to do with the little story you guys were just talking about.
Oh, wow.
But it has to do with the American health crisis and what is really going on the inside of our food industry.
Right.
And why we're seeing such a rise in obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancers, all of those things that, you know, unfortunately, the poor gentleman you were talking about probably is, you know, dealing with right now in his life. So it's really a healthy guidebook for people to take back control of their health. And I love what Mia was talking about this morning about, you know, doing her superfood smoothie in the morning in her NutriBlender, which is amazing. I tell all my clients to do that. I actually start my day the same way. So good for you.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's just a really important message that I think people need to be aware of right now.
Great. Mm-hmm. So this is GMO. Okay, so the book is The Silent Scandal. And then it says GMO here. Tell us what GMO stands for.
So GMO stands for genetically modified organism. And what a lot of people don't know right now is genetically modified organisms are all over our food supply. So there are these major corporations, food corporations, that are actually putting genetically modified products into food secretly because there's no labeling laws in the U.S. right now. And we're actually one of the only developed nations in the world that allows this to happen. 64 other countries have completely banned GMOs or have very strict labeling laws. Mm-hmm. And we, because we're America and these companies are from America, it's all about the dollar, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no laws. And so why this is a problem and why people need to know about GMOs, and that's why the cover of my book is a little bit, people are like, why do you have a gag on your, you know, why is there duct tape on your mouth? Because I really feel like it is a silent scandal. You know, moms don't know what they're feeding their children. It's not put on the packaging and people are being lied to. And I think that's absolutely scandalous because GMOs have been linked to cancer, tumors, digestive issues, allergies, neurological disorders. I mean, this is all tested on lab and rats, basically, because there are no human studies. Get that. No human studies that prove that GMOs are safe for human consumption, but they are infiltrating our food system right now.
Wow.
Oh, so, that's frightening.
Huge problem, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, when you talk closer to the mic so we can hear you. You can pull it towards you so you don't have to lean in so much.
Got it.
But we want to hear you nice and full and
there we go.
There you go. I just didn't want to interrupt you.
No worries.
But so there's no labeling for that, huh?
There's no labeling. And I don't know if you guys remember, last November, actually, there was on the state ballot for California, Prop 37. You might have seen all those, you know, yellow and white posters everywhere. Saying label GMOs, and that was a huge, huge opportunity for the grassroots organic movement to really kind of let the public know what was going on. Unfortunately, it didn't pass in California. It was really, really close, but the main company that produces these genetically modified seeds, Monsanto, spent over $44 million in the campaign to stop the labeling laws.
Really? Wow.
So they had all these TV ads that were super deceptive, and people just got confused because not everyone is researching this stuff all day long like I do because this is what I do.
Right.
But it didn't pass. But the good news was that it really opened up the debate, the national debate. And right now there's a big campaign going on in Washington because Washington State's trying to pass labeling laws. And if Washington does, you know, the rest of the country, I think, will follow suit. But it's really important because bottom line, we're being poisoned, we're being lied to, and our kids are being poisoned. So as a mom, I'm not okay with it, and I'm angry about it, I'm pissed off, and I want to say something about it. So that's part of what the book's about, but it's just, you know, I want people to be aware that what they're putting in their body every day really counts. It really makes a difference.
Right. So this goes for animals as well as vegetables and produce and things like that?
That's a great question. Well, the thing with animals is animals are being injected with things like hormones, steroids, antibiotics, which most people know that stuff, but they're eating GMO corn. Almost all the corn in the United States is genetically modified, over 90%.
Really?
Wow. So
why is that?
Good question, Sam. It's money. It all comes down to money. And see, what these companies have done is they've patented seeds. So they own the rights, and all these family farms are getting shut down left and right, and they're taking over, they're trying to take over the organic farming industry with these seeds because they can patent it, and then they own a monopoly on the food industry.
I see, okay.
So that's what's going on with the corn. So corn oil and soybean oil, all, that stuff's in everything. If you look at the back of any packaged food, it's going to have canola, corn, soy, all of those things are highly genetically modified ingredients. So when you talk about animals, yes, we are getting it by default through eating meat because they're being fed GMO corn and seeds and stuff. And so, yeah, there's a whole problem.
So
with
it's it, so if you eat a cow, for example, it's far from natural at this point. I mean, you know, they get all these injections and then they eat all this stuff and they're not a cow anymore.
Right. Right. Well, if you really look far into the, and this is hard, I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian my whole life, so I don't eat meat, but a lot of people do. And I'm not promoting you have to be a vegan or vegetarian. I'm just saying be aware of what's in your food. And the problem is if you're going to eat meat or you're going to eat dairy, you absolutely should try to buy organic because you're going to be at least stopping some of that. There is cross-contamination and things like that. But if you look at some of the what's going on with chickens, for example, I mean, chickens are raised in these like teeny little things. I mean, if you really saw what was happening, most people would stop eating meat on the spot because it's so gross. But they don't even grow into full chickens. They're like these mutated chickens because they're pumped full of all these drugs, and then people, it's on their dinner plate and they're feeding it to their kids. You know, they don't know. People don't know because it's hidden. So, you know, that's my big issue is at least give people a choice. At least tell them.
Same thing with eggs, too.
Yes.
When you go to buy, you know, they're all like, screwed up eggs because the chickens are screwed up. Like, you have to, like, and I was wondering, too, are brown eggs better than the white eggs?
Yes, okay. If you're going to eat eggs or any dairy, you know, look for cage-free, veg-fed, organic. That way you're going to be at least, you know, protecting yourself against a lot of the just nastiness. And if anyone wants to see, like, in-depth, there's all sorts of documentaries. You can go on, like, PETA's website and look at what they're really doing to the animals. But there's a really good documentary on Netflix right now, and it's called Vegicated, and they actually show little clips of really what's going on with, like, the chickens. And if you're I'm an animal lover, but if you love any animals at all, you'll go, oh, my gosh, because there's these little chickens and their beaks are getting – I mean, it's really sad, you know. And, it again, people don't – we're just such a – you know, instant mentality culture of like, we want it now, we want this, we want it fast, we want it bigger, better, all those things. And it's just really wreaked havoc on our health from having that go on in our food system. So yeah, brown eggs are definitely cage-free, organic, if you
can. Unless you're coloring Easter eggs around
Easter
time. Because mine did not come out so pretty. I colored brown Easter eggs and I'm like, why do these not look as pretty?
I actually, that happened last year with my daughter. I'm so used to buying organic brown eggs that I didn't even think about it. We would go to dye Easter eggs and she's like, Mommy, this is not working. And all of them were like this weird like orange color. Like none of our colors worked. I'm like, okay, I promise next year, honey, I will buy toxic eggs. I promise.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I actually have a photo of it on my Instagram of the lovely eggs that my mom when I colored when she was in town.
Well, we probably had matching then. Our eggs were matching.
Yeah, like, so in this society, I mean, the distance between us and gathering the food is so great that we don't really care. We're not really aware of what's going on. If we're the ones that had to collect our own food and butcher the animals, I think it would be different, right?
I 100% agree with that statement. Yeah, and that's the thing that I think is really key is, and that's my message really to people in the book and just when I do seminars and stuff is just get educated, because when you have an educate, you know, knowledge is truly power, and then it gives you more choices. And right now when you don't know, you're literally living in the dark and you're being lied to, and that just as a human being should make you irritated. Like, you know, these companies are making millions and millions and millions of dollars off you being stupid, basically. And that's what they think. They think we're too stupid to figure it out on our own. But you're absolutely right. Our food is coming from, you know, farther and farther away from us. So I'm a big advocate of local grown, you know, produce, obviously organic, supporting your local CSAs and farmers markets and things like that, so that you can understand that, you know, we all have to live. You have to live, but you have to eat to live.
Right.
And that's the where I think where the disconnect is right now is people just live to eat.
Right.
Instead of the other way around. But eventually it will stab you in the back, like this gentleman that you were talking about earlier is dealing with, and that lady, that poor lady that you said killed her nephew or something, you rolled over on him. Yeah. I mean, that's just a a sad reality of the food industry, of what the food industry has done to Americans. You know, right. We're smarter, we're bright, mm-hmm. we're amazing people, you know, and we should have the opportunity to know what's going in our food. But if you right. had to go out there and slaughter your cow every night before you had your steak, I think some people could do it. Obviously, there's some right. people that could do it. I think a lot of people would go vegetarian on the spot because yeah. they just couldn't, you know, they couldn't handle the gore of it all, you know.
That's so, true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the fact that the chickens live like that, and that, you know, they don't even live, they just survive yeah. sort of, and that's pretty sad, you know. I mean, I've seen that in films before, you know, and it's pretty heartbreaking to see that.
It
you know?
Is.
But yeah. I still love chicken, let me tell you.
And that's, yeah. you know, that's okay. Yeah, it just, we've been raised in a culture and society, like if you said, I eat dog, people would look at you like you were a murderer. You know, right. they would be like, that's mm-hmm. disgusting. But we've just been taught that certain animals are food, right?
Right.
And so we just think,
them,
you know,
right.
it's part of our culture and it's socialized and all that stuff. But if you just try your best to be aware and at least buy organic when you can, if you can't afford to buy all organic, you know, you just at least do your vegetables and your meats and stuff like
right.
that.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So let's go a little back and find out how you this came about and how you got involved in all this.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, let's go back to the beginning. Were you born here in LA?
I was actually born in Culver City, but I live down the street from where you guys are right now. My whole life.
Really?
I am a Valley girl.
Yes, you are. Wow.
Yeah. So born and raised in, people always go, where are you originally from? LA. No, yeah. Where are you originally from? No,
exactly. Because nobody's no, from here.
It's
you
so
know?
Rare.
I know. I'm really not a transplant. Like, I am really from here. I grew up in the Valley. My husband grew up in the Valley. We went to high school here. I went to UCLA. Oh. So I just stayed right in this little hub.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, you know, I was raised in a really holistic household. My mom was a vegetarian, my dad ate meat, so we always had a choice. But I remember being at, you know, very young age, you know, we ate all organic and we shopped at Mrs. Gooch's, which is now Whole Foods, but back right. in the day it was called Mrs. Gooch's. And so that was my upbringing, and you know, I know a lot of people didn't have that, but I think it kind of propelled, obviously, the direction that my life has taken now. But for me, it really changed when I got pregnant with my first daughter. And you know, it was 5.5 years ago, and she just turned 5. But it was really frightening to me what was put, you know, what was starting to be put in our foods at that point. And I was, you know, having this baby grow inside me, and I wanted to know everything, and I wanted to know why, and I wanted to know how to diminish it so that I could give her the best, you know, possible environment to grow in. And so that was really what kind of started that. But I was always, you know, I started cleansing at like 16 years old and learning about herbs and all of those things. So it kind of was always innately, I think, my journey of what I was supposed to do. But I think definitely having children made it a lot more like, this is my mission, and I'm going to get out there and tell as many people as I can.
Right.
Because parents don't know. They don't know that McDonald's is literally poison, and every time their child eats it, they are poisoning their kid. Like, they don't know that because they're taught to believe that it's safe, and it's
right.
not.
So, yeah. So how is that poison? I mean, that's a pretty strong statement, you know. So tell us, how is McDonald's poison?
McDonald's is poison for a lot of reasons. Well, first of all, a lot of the ingredients in McDonald's foods were not ever meant to go in the human body. So what I mean by that is that you're talking about extreme preservatives, additives, you know, coloring and flavors and things that are completely synthetic. And they've, you know, tested different fast food companies. They've actually found the ingredients they put in there alters your brain chemistry, much like the effects of cocaine and heroin.
Really?
And they produce, yes, I know, it's right. People are like, what? Why isn't this front page news? Exactly why I wrote a book. But it alters your brain chemistry, and it forms addictive behaviors. It also, you know, it messes with your neurotransmitters and doesn't tell you that you're full, so you keep overeating. There's all sorts of hidden tricks that the food companies have so that people keep buying and consuming their products. And so I believe if the majority of parents really understood that, well, first of all, a parent would never, hopefully in their right mind, ever give drugs to a child, right? That would be considered child abuse, and everyone would be up in arms, and that person would be in jail, and the child would be taken away. Okay, well, fast food's not considered that because it's part of our culture, right? You're not American, you don't eat French fries, a Coke,
it's
and a
food,
burger.
Right.
It's, we're taught it's food, but it's really not food. It's things that are disguised as food. And so if people understood that, I think that they would not feed it to their kids. So when I say McDonald's poison, I literally mean it was never meant to go in your body. And if you don't believe me, you know, watch the documentary that Morgan Spurlock did, Supersize Me. Mm-hmm. He eats McDonald's every... Have you seen it?
I have.
Every day for 30 days. Now, if you were eating regular food every day...
I almost got
sick when I was watching. There's like some parts in there where I was like, oh my God, right? Oh my God, fast forward. I can't even watch
it's
this part.
It's gnarly, oh, but he proved that McDonald's is not mm-hmm. supposed to go in your body because he was perfectly healthy. His blood work was fine. 30 mm-hmm. days later,
yeah,
his doctor told him to
was
stop.
Like a she was vegetarian, vegan. Yeah, right? And then she was always cooking like super healthy yes. meals, and then right. he just totally went on the opposite end of the yeah. spectrum.
Right, and he ate McDonald's for 3 meals a day, and at the end, the, you know, 30-day period, the doctor, which mm-hmm. is not that long of a time, 30 days, right? Right? The doctor said, you need to stop this experiment or you're going to have a serious health problem.
Really?
He thought he was going to have, like, cardiac arrest. I mean, he was, like, afraid he was going to die. So if you ate real food for 30 days, you'd be healthy and fit and you'd feel good like Mia feels. She's yes. been having her spinach, real live food, nutrition going into your body. You wouldn't feel mm-hmm. like that. And so that was a really big eye-opener, I think, for America to go, okay, maybe we need to second-guess this marketing that's been shoved down our throats.
Right. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that other fast food chains are the same or?
Yeah, they're all the same.
They're all the same.
They're all huh? the same. And yeah. if you look into where these companies are getting their foods, there's a small amount of corporations that pretty much own the major supply of our food system. Mm-hmm. So there's really like 5 major companies that own everything. Right. So it's all coming from the same genetically modified junk mm-hmm. that's just distributed everywhere under different packaging, you know, whatever, yeah. but it's the same stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh man.
That's very interesting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like tweeting about all this right now. Like, Evan, listen in right now. Learn about the food. Yeah. You're don't poisoning eat, yourself.
Don't eat any freaking McDonald's anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm not picking on McDonald's. It's everything. It's even just the local supermarkets. But I kind of, you know, compare it to the tobacco industry. Mm. When, you know, if you look back and you see commercials from the 50s, there was a doctor sitting there smoking a cigarette. I smoke Cools or right. whatever, you know, Camels yeah. are the best. Every
I know
doctor.
Doctors were smoking in the hospital.
Yes. Yeah. Because it became this cultural norm and nobody right. questioned it. And then it proved that it caused cancer. And so now, of course, there'll always be people that smoke cigarettes, even if there is a warning label. But that's what's, you know, realistically going on with our food right now is people, there's no warning label. So people don't know and they think it's fine. Right. But there should be warning labels so at least they can choose.
Right.
Yeah.
I see. So do you think you got into this because of early on at home, you know, where you had, you know, your mother was vegetarian, you mm-hmm. said, right? Mm-hmm. And your father did eat meat. Mm-hmm. Does that create a problem in the house? I mean,
it wasn't a problem. It's actually my reality now. My husband still eats meat. And mm-hmm. my kids, my one daughter, my littlest one, is pretty much vegan. She won't touch any meat. She,
really?
My 17-month-old is like raised vegan.
That,
yeah, she's... She
has
no desire. Like, I've tried to give her, like, grass-fed organic stuff, and she throws it to the dog. Like, won't have anything to do. I'm like, you're me. She's like a little mini me.
Yeah.
And then my older one, she will eat meat in moderation, but I buy really ridiculously expensive, good grass-fed organic, you know. And I still, there's a part of me that's like, oh, when she's eating it. But I don't want to make her afraid of food. I just teach them about stuff, you know. And my 5-year-old knows, you know, she's, you know, broccoli's good for your body, makes you strong, and spinach makes your muscles big and helps mm-hmm. your brain. And, you know, I've just taught them stuff. So they eat a ton of vegetables, a ton of fruits, and a ton of real food. They've never eaten at McDonald's over my dead body.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
I haven't either. I've actually uh-huh. never yeah. eaten in McDonald's ever.
Wow.
I've had other fast food, you know, periodically as like a teenager, but I can say 100% I've never eaten at McDonald's in my entire life.
Wow.
So
wow.
I know.
Well, you're not missing much.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all plastic tasting.
It is. Yeah. And now, like, they have these, you know, commercials and they're trying to promote, like, all like their healthy options,
yeah.
you know, but it's not really healthy.
Yeah, a couple leaves of lettuce or something, you
right.
know, they call it vegetable.
Right,
sprayed
with pesticides and a GMO tomato.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Even their, like, the chicken, like, you think, like, oh, I'm going to be healthy. And I remember I was in the airport and I was just starving. It was, like, the only thing there. And I will say, like, I haven't, pretty much since I've moved here, because McDonald's isn't quite as prevalent out here as it is in the Midwest. So
really?
Since I've moved out here, I have not had McDonald's. So yay.
Good for you.
So it's been about like 3.5, almost 4 years now of no McDonald's or really no fast food at all. If I can help it. But where was I going with this? Oh, that's right, the airport. And it was like the only thing that was open and around. I'm like, shoot. So I'm like, well, I'll get something healthy. I'll get like a grilled chicken wrap. I took two bites and I went back and I opened up the wrap and I showed them, I'm like, what's that right there?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, that's the chicken. I'm like, I'd love to watch you take a bite of this right now. This is not chicken. Like, I couldn't even swallow the first bite.
Wow. Really?
It was so terrible. I'm like, this isn't chicken.
It's
that's
not really
so
chicken. Yeah.
Frightening. Like, we can make you another one. I'm like, no. You're like, I will starve.
Thanks,
thank you anyway.
No thanks. Yeah, they just found, I think this was on Natural News a couple weeks or like last week or something. I saw the blog about it. But they found like these weird hair type fibers in the chicken nuggets, and like no one could explain what it was. Like a bunch of them. It wasn't just like, oops, one. But it was like these weird black looking substances
in
the
disgusting.
Chicken nuggets. It's just like, oh my gosh, you know, and kids are being raised on that, unfortunately. So hopefully there's some parents listening today that are going to go to Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now, so the government can't step in and, you know, I mean, what's going on?
That's,
you know,
a good
the
question.
FDA and
that's a
like
good
that.
Money
question.
Thing.
So
behind it all,
I talk
probably.
A lot about this, and yes, you are right, Mia. And that's the number one question people ask me. Well, if it was really such a big deal, like why isn't our government protecting us? I'm like, dude, they don't care. I mean, it's a business, and the problem is that the government's a huge part of the problem. And there's so much special interest groups working our political system. I mean, we know that politicians are full of it, right? I mean, they've proven time and again, you know, we are not in a nation anymore where we can like 100% trust our government. I think people now realize that that is a reality where we have to question things, and there's always scandalous behavior going on in Washington, you know. And the food industry is no exception. You know, it's linked into the pharmaceutical industry and the drug industry. They make a lot of money off people being overweight and sick and needing pharmaceutical drugs, because if you eat healthy, your body will eventually at some point balance and you don't need that stuff. So what does that then do to the drug sales? What does that do to the doctors? But everything starts to go down, and there's a huge part of the government that, you know, it's controlled by greed. Unfortunately, I wish that was not the case. I am a big believer in social change and people making a difference. And there are a lot of people out there in the organic movement that are fighting for change in this country. And I think we'll see it. But it's going to take a lot more people understanding what's going on. I think if everyone really knew, they would be so angry. There would be like instant revolution.
Right.
But, you know, it takes time to change people's, you know, when they've been programmed and lied to since birth about what's good, what's bad, all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. And it's so convenient, you know, just to go and eat and get it quickly and eat it and stuff when you're hungry and that. But so what do you say to people who say, I don't have time to prepare organic food?
Right. Well, do you have time to get really sick?
maybe.
That would be my next question. But here's the thing. There's always time for health. Yes, does it take a little bit more conscious effort? Let me just ask you, Mia, how long did it take you to make your superfood smoothie this morning?
Oh, it's like 2 seconds.
Mm. 2 seconds,
it's
right?
It's so quick.
Right.
So quick. Mm-hmm. But she made a conscious choice that she was going to purchase some things that were healthy for her body. And it is a lot faster and quicker than, you know, frying some bacon and eggs and sausage on a pan and making that for your breakfast. And yes, drive through. Okay, so there's that option. You know, you can throw an apple and an organic granola bar in your purse and you would be getting way more nutrition from that and having that as a breakfast if you were on the go. Like, I always have healthy snacks with me because I'm a foodie. I like to eat, you know, I'm like a fast metabolism. I like food. And I always am just prepared because there's no exception to me. Like, I would never think of going through a drive through because I know too much about it.
Right.
So it just wouldn't
occur. So it's not even an option for
It's not an option for me. If you take it off the table as it being an option, you will automatically make healthier choices. You can run into any supermarket and grab, you know, some fresh fruit and, you know, even if you eat meat, you know, some sliced organic turkey or, you know, just something so that you're not starving. Have some nuts in your bag, you know, have some healthy snacks on you all the time so that you're never in that bind of I'm starving and I'm going to put the first thing that's junk in my face right
that's
now.
That's true. Yeah,
you know,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, how long have you lived like this? I mean, all your life?
There was a period in my life in my teens, my early teens, and I actually share that story in the book. I won't go into too much detail about it, but I kind of jumped off the bandwagon and rebelled against, you know, everything. Yeah. I was just putting bad stuff in my body. But that was a really pivotal moment in my life because I actually got really sick from the things that I was putting in my body at that time and thought I was going to not be okay. And so I made a conscious choice to heal my body naturally. And that's when I started, you know, researching and learning about detoxification and cleansing and herbs. And that was really a pivotal moment in my life. So I'm grateful for it now. Right. But it was such a, you know, it was a 3 to 4 year period where I was like, woo. And I still took, you know, really, I thought, good care of myself, you know, vitamins and stuff like that. I always did that. But yeah, you know, everything in moderation, you know, like I still drink wine, you know, on occasion with my husband, and we'll go beer tasting or whatever. And we enjoy life, but you know, you need to have a set plan of like a healthy lifestyle approach. And I think what you were saying earlier about, you know, the gentleman, like, how did he get to that point? It's because no one has a plan. Right. They're just constantly like, I'm hungry, I'll eat that now, put it in my mouth now. You have to have a plan for health if you care about your health. And if you don't care about your health now, at some point you will lose it. Mm-hmm. And you will spend all your money, all your resources, all your time trying to get it back. And that's what makes me sad, is that we have a choice right now to just make a plan, think a little bit harder about, okay, you know, my husband and I were in Oxnard this weekend with some friends. We went to Yard House, which is like a big, you know, brewery chain restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they had a whole menu of non-GMO vegan option, vegan vegetarian options. I was so excited because it's become, so much more mainstream now. And when I was a kid, I mean, we never ate out because it was like a baked potato or pasta. Like, there was no options for vegetarians. Like, people thought we were like aliens from another planet. Yeah. And now, especially in Los Angeles, like, yes, it is a huge, here. You can go on any corner and find a vegetarian type restaurant now. Mm. So there's no excuse if you want to eat healthy. There are options. It's just about opening your eyes, I think, just being aware.
Right. So now,
are you saying that meat then is not good for you, even if it's natural and
organic? My personal belief is no, but I think that not eating meat is a personal choice.
Right.
But the research that I've done, no, it's not good for us.
Not good for us.
Not
even
good
chicken?
For us. Even chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
So how come we're carnivores, aren't we, as human beings? I mean, our body is set to eat animals, you know?
Yeah, they say that, but there's also research that says the opposite. You know, back in if you're looking at like Neanderthal culture, you know, one, you know, they didn't know how to write and they couldn't really, you know, they didn't have the luxuries that we have. So if we want to live like that, we can, but we have a lot more options now. So yeah, if you were in an environment that, you know, didn't have, you know, fruits and vegetables and grains and seeds at certain times during the year, and they weren't able to store them back in the day when there wasn't all the luxuries of modern life, then yes, meat was a viable option. But if you actually study the healthiest cultures still to this day in the world, you know, in different parts of like, you know, the Amazon and Brazil, and, you know, they live off like grains and seeds and nuts and fruits and berries, and they have no heart disease and cancers, and they don't have the types of illnesses that we have. And there's actually one of the biggest nutrition studies ever done on humans was called the China Study. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. And it was by a gentleman named T. Colin Campbell. And he worked for the government. He worked for the U.S. Health Department meat and dairy industry. He was raised on a dairy farm. That was like, you know, just meat and potatoes guy. And he started studying in rural different parts of Asia the rise in cancer when other meat type products would come in and they would go from their plant-based diet, and they would see a huge rise. And they went to study something else, and this is actually what they found. Anyways, long story short, it was over a 22-year period of research, and it proves in his book, you can read it, that any meat product heated to a high temperature, cooked meats, are carcinogenic in the body. They cause cancer on any level. And so he left his position. He promotes veganism. He speaks at conferences all over. He helps people, you know, naturally, you know, that are going through cancer and stuff like that. So it's a huge, huge eye opener if you are a meat eater and you just kind of want to know, well, first of all, what the heck is this girl talking about?
Right.
You know, and if you really just want to see data, like, you know, he says, you know, this is, you know, take your politics out of it, take your, you know, emotions out of it. This is just data. You can't argue with the science of what he found, that it caused cancer in the body. So, you know, I obviously don't eat meat, but I don't like judge anyone that does. I think it's a personal choice. And if you are, obviously grass fed organic, the way to go for sure.
Okay. So. Well, sounds good. the book is The Silent Scandal. It's Brittany Cara, and you guys can look it up. Also, your website. Give your website so people can follow us.
My website is www.yourlifedetoxed.com. So YourLife detox, DETOXED.com. Right. And you can get the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's all over the place. So.
How long did it take you to write the book?
You know, I wrote the book 3 years ago, and then I put it out as an ebook because I was like a new, I was a blogger, you know, and so I didn't really know about writing a book, and that wasn't my background, and so self-publishing is this scary world of like all this stuff that you don't know that costs thousands of dollars, and so I was like, oh, I'll just do an ebook because I honestly just wanted people to read the information, like that's all I ever wanted, and so my ebook went out, you know, I don't know, it sold a little bit, not probably anything to write home about. But then about a year ago, Motivational Press contacted me and they wanted to re-release it and make it a hard copy. So paper copy. Oh. So I was really excited. And so I got published and it was awesome. So it was about a 3-year process. I wrote the book in like 2 months.
Oh, really?
And then it just kind of, you know, I was like, pregnant and I have kids and all that stuff, so I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Okay, I'll just put it out. So and then it ended up being
cool. Went to UCLA. What did you go for?
I did. I actually studied, believe it or not, I actually studied political science at UCLA.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what interested you at the
time? I thought I was going to like go in and change politics at the time, and then I, you know, dabbled in acting and all this stuff, and then I was like, no, I wellness was really like my where I was meant to be. So,
really?
But I feel like a lot of what I do now is political. So my background in that does help.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, education can never be taken away from you. So it's a great experience no matter what you major in.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. You know? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't mean that if this is what you do, that you have to graduate.
Right.
It, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learn a lot in college, you know, and UCLA was a great school. And so, yeah, it was a good experience.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, then you got married and had kids and stuff.
I did. I got married and had kids.
So you have two kids, you were telling us.
I have two kids. I have a daughter named Kayla who's 5, and I have a 17-month-old little girl, Kelsey.
Oh, okay.
So double girl, and we're on
Kayla
mission
and
boy.
Kelsey, that's cute.
Kayla, Kelsey, and my husband's name's Kellen, so there's a lot of K's.
Yeah, and Cara, the last name, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
So
you're educating your kids to eat well as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's my number one goal, and I will tell you, it's hard. Like, I just was mentioning earlier, my daughter just started kindergarten, and they have a new policy in LAUSD schools that the kids are now fed a breakfast from the cafeteria in the morning. Okay, so as soon as I heard about that, I'm like, oh, my head just like exploded.
Nobody feeds my kids.
No,
right?
I was like, where's the form to sign to waive this? Like, not happening. So the first day of school, I told my daughter, you know, don't eat the food, and I packed her, you know, some fruit and stuff in her lunch so she had extra food. She didn't have to sit there while everyone else is eating and be like the weird kid. I don't want her to be like the weird kid that's made fun of, you know. So she came back and I said, how was breakfast? And she goes, well, they made me eat the food. And I said, what?
No.
I'm like, well, what was it? She goes, they gave me coffee and milk. And I went, what?
Coffee?
I'm like, wait, honey, that cannot be accurate. Let's just talk about this first. I mean, she's 5, right? So I'm like, tell me again, what did it look? It was coffee and milk. So I'm just like ready to call the principal and freak out on her. And she goes, well, it was this cake thing with like cinnamon. I'm like, coffee cake?
Coffee cake.
She's like, yeah. So they gave them, she called it cow's milk because we don't drink cow. We drink non-dairy alternative milk. And so she's like, it was cow's milk and coffee. But anyway, so I had to have a talk with them. And I was like, she's not allowed to eat the food because I don't know what was in that. But she doesn't eat that. And they weren't raised on dairy. So you know, that could have given her tummy ache and all this stuff. But she's like, well, my teacher said to eat it. So I thought I had to eat it. So I had to go in and talk to them. But, you know, there's just, it's a huge issue of they're growing minds, growing bodies. They're not getting the proper nutrients from the current foods. And then we look at the rise in, you know, ADHD and autism and, you know, all these neurological disorders in kids, and people wonder why. And it's completely, I believe, 100% connected to toxicity and food and, you know, the stuff that's going on in the environment. Mm. And these little kids' bodies, their immune systems can't fight it off, and then they're not getting the proper brain nutrients to grow and to develop. So it's my number one mission every day to feed my kids good food. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are you saying even milk and eggs are bad for us? I mean, because you're a vegan, right? And you were talking about milk.
95% of my diet's vegan. It's hard to be vegan outside of the home sometimes.
So what part of it makes you then part vegetarian?
Well, vegan doesn't eat any animal products. So vegans don't even eat, like, real vegans don't even eat, like, honey. Like, I put honey in my tea, so I'm not, like, on that level.
Okay.
Like, they wouldn't wear anything leather. Like, they find out where their shoes come from. Like, there's a whole other realm of like that it's too much for me to get into. I'm like, I'm just focused on the food. But and vegetarian, just you don't eat any animal products. So vegan is but you'll still eat like you don't eat any meat, but vegetarians will a lot of times eat eggs and cheese and milk still.
Right.
Uh-huh. But my kids were not raised on cow milk, as we call it in our house. Mm-hmm. They were raised on almond milk. Both my girls drink almond milk.
I love chocolate almond milk too. Oh my gosh, that's like my little guilty pleasure at night. Ever since I discovered that, I'm like, oh, so good.
yeah.
I do. I like almond milk. Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with drinking milk, for example?
Well, if you look at, you know, scientific, we're the only mammals that consume another mammal's milk past the age of 4. So like, we wouldn't think about like, oh, I nursed my cat, like have some cat's milk, like that's just so gross. But we drink cow milk, like we're not a baby calf. Like there's really no, again, it has to go back to like the dairy industry and its money and all that stuff. So do children need to have cow's milk to flourish and thrive? No, I don't believe that they do. I nursed both my kids for a year and then they went straight to almond milk and they're super healthy, strong, amazing kids. But again, a lot of kids have milk allergies and dairy sensitivities and they don't know, and it manifests in things like eczema and even just concentration issues. And milk is almost always the key. If you take the child off milk and dairy, all of a sudden they're able to function properly. So again, just because I know a lot of what's going on in the food industry, even if it is organic, milk's just not an option that I recommend for my kids.
Right.
And I coach a lot of moms and a lot of pregnant women, and it's amazing what happens when you get kids off dairy. You know, their skin clears up and there are just all sorts of different things happen. So, and there's a lot of pediatricians that are on the same bandwagon as I am and the no dairy thing. So,
sounds
again,
good.
Marketing, milk does the body good. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So now, does it weird you out to cook meat for your husband? Like, or do you make him cook the meat?
That's a good question. So I was really bad at it in the beginning. Like the first time I made a mistake, I left it in the broiler for like an hour and a half. Like I didn't know. And it was like a brick. He was like, oh, okay, honey. You know, I had never cooked meat. We make a lot of fish, like, you know, wild caught salmon. So I'll like bake that. And so that's a healthier alternative. I don't like him eating a lot of red meat anyways. And he's a fireman. So he eats plenty of that at the fire station.
Because
they, you know, they're meat and potato guys.
Yeah.
which is fine. But when he's home, I try to, you know, do a lot of, you know, healthy grains and veggies and all that stuff and fish, and so I'll make it. Do I like to make it? No.
Yeah.
But I love him, so I'll I make there it in moderation for him. Yeah.
Now, do you provide a service like consultation, things like that? Do you want to give out the information?
Yeah, people can connect with me on my website or also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/Brittany Cara, you can connect with me on there. So yeah, I do, you know, one-on-one consultations. I coach people through nutritional cleansing, which is detoxing the body on a cellular level. So I do that, and then I help people. We didn't really talk about this, but I'm an NLP practitioner, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is a whole long sentence. Nobody knows what that is, but it's basically helping people get over any blocks they have in their mind. So I specialize in health issues. So I work with a lot of food addictions, overeating, undereating, whatever the issue is related to health. I can help them with that on the mental side of things too, is to clear the mind so the mind can be proper to make the right choices.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, my daughter is like 23 now, and she has like health problems and stuff every now and then. And I think it's because, first of all, she didn't eat enough when she was a kid. She still doesn't eat a lot. Mm-hmm. And probably didn't eat the right things.
Right.
You know, right? I mean, that's like, because I can't imagine, although, you know, I eat a lot of crap and I'm still feeling healthy and everything, but I think the body sort of like gets used to it, huh? Mm-hmm.
It's true. And the thing is every person's different. Everybody's body composition. I mean, we're all the same, but we're all different. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, how we were raised, one, and two, you know, what of our genetics and all that stuff. But the problem is, even with good foods, like if you're buying just like, if you're eating salads that aren't organic, you're exposed to so many just pesticides and junk the salads. Mm-hmm. So it's, people don't know that there's just so much poison. So one, they're not getting enough nutrition. I don't know specifically what's going on with your daughter, so I wouldn't want to speak directly about that. I'd have to find out more.
But food is very important.
I think the key is right now is the right food is important, because even when people think they're being healthy, like I'll just give you guys an example. Non-organic celery had 70 carcinogenic chemicals on it when they tested
really?
It. Okay, so you're like, here, kids, eat the celery. It's full of poison, you know? So it's really important to at least know the top you know, it's called the Dirty Dozen. It's like the top 12 most toxic fruits and vegetables to buy organic so that you can diminish your exposure, because pesticides are linked to everything from neurological disorders to cancers to just a range of autoimmune problems. So it just, if the body is sick, it always, you are what you eat. And that sounds really cliche, and we've all heard it. It's like, yeah. But it's true.
It's the fuel. Yeah.
And I always tell my clients that it's just like your car. If you put the wrong oil in, you didn't get your oil, your car would break down and nobody, you know, it wouldn't work. And that's what we do to our bodies every day.
So. Right. Well, Brittany Carr, very fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
Everybody go to yourlifedetoxed.com. And the book is The Silent Scandal. You can get it anywhere. Stop the Toxic Attack on Our Bodies.
And, no GMO.
Yeah, and I got to say, you made some important points here. You know, I'm definitely going to take it to heart.
Thanks for having me
on. Yeah, because I always say, well, organic is just too expensive. It's not really worth it. But you're saying it is. Now, when you buy organic, do you know that it is? I mean...
a good question. Yeah. You can actually look at the little SKU on like a piece of fruit, and the little numbers will tell you. Nine is... Oh, and I don't want to get the numbers wrong. I believe is organic. Eight is conventional. Nine is organic. Eight is GMO. And four is conventionally grown. So you can look at the SKU. And also, I mean, everyone has a smartphone now, right? So get the Dirty Dozen app. You can get like an app that will tell you on your phone, you know, what are the best to buy. Because it's hard to shop 100% organic. And a lot of people can't afford it because it is more expensive, or that they make it that way for a reason. But you just do the best you can. You start with one area, you know, and you just maybe just commit to buying all your fruits this month organic, or all your vegetables or whatever, and your body will start to detox naturally, and your body will start to crave the good food. So that's the most important thing. Just start small.
Awesome. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Good timing for me to start my kick.
There you go.
Keep on it. I know more.
All right, Mia, thank you. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.